Happy hump day, everybody. Welcome to another edition of Mean Streets presented by So Rare live on Game Plus Network, also on our FCN Network YouTube page. Chris Meany here hanging out with you. Hopefully everybody having a fantastic day. Always appreciate the support and the time here today. If you have any questions, leave them there in the comments section. If you are listening on iTunes and Spotify, you can always hop on over and leave any question that you have at Chris Meany on the Twitter machine, meanstreetsftn@gmail.com. Today on the show, we are going to do a live mock draft. I know we've been doing a lot of best ball drafts, and you know, Underdog Fantasy is fantastic. I know it isn't available everywhere. Most states it is, and most places in Canada it is as well. But I know in the Ontario area it is not. So we're going to do things a little bit differently here today. On Friday, we will have a live Underdog best ball draft over at underdogfantasy.com. We'll continue to do them once a week as we get closer. The goal is really to get familiar with different draft strategies, you know, go outside your comfort zone. I just feel like everybody should be doing mocks, like a couple mocks before they go into their home league, the draft that you want to win. And, you know, try different draft spots, you know, pick near the top, pick near the back end, maybe start your draft with a couple running backs. There's all kinds of different strategies. Of course, Jeff Ratcliffe has his game plan. It's available over at FTN Fantasy, and he talks about the different strategies, and we're going to employ them here on this show and in future shows moving forward. I think today we're going to do one like a hero RB / punt RB2, which really means that I'm going to take a top 10 running back, a running back that I think is, you know, a top 10 guy, a top 12, a borderline bell cow back. By that, I mean a running back that's going to get first and second down carries, goal line work, and potentially catch, you know, 35 plus passes out of the backfield, a bell cow role. There's only a few across the league. Back in the day, there were several running backs like that you knew were going to get 300 plus touches. Now there's some committees across the board, maybe one in Seattle, for example, this year with Kenneth Walker, who the Seahawks took in the second round last year, and then Zach Charbonnet, who's somebody they took in the second round this past year as well. So they have themselves two running backs. I think Charbonnet is more suited for a bell cow role potentially in the future, where Walker is like that first or second down running back. Of course, CMC and Austin Eckler and Saquon Barkley, Nick Chubb this year. Nick Chubb, I mean, we've talked enough about Nick Chubb, but he could be headed for more catches. In his second year in the NFL, he's on pace for 50 grabs before they brought in Kareem Hunt halfway through the season. And we did see an uptick in volume through the air towards the end of last season with Deshaun Watson under center. And Watson will be the week one starter in Cleveland this year, which he wasn't over the past couple of years. He has not been a week one starter. But I think what I wanted to show you guys is, you know, again, do some mocks, pick a couple different spots, a couple different strategies, maybe attack the tight end position early, maybe attack the quarterback position early, get yourself sort of a feel of what your team could look like. So there is a zero RB route where you just hammer home wide receivers, a tight end, maybe get yourself a quarterback in the first few rounds, and then really hammer home the running back position. I'd say around round 5, 6, you can go RB, 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 or 3 or 4, like really hammer it home if you're going to do zero RB. Or, you know, heavy running backs to start. Maybe you start running back, then you get into the wide receivers. It just gives you a really good feel of what your team could look like and what players are available in the middle and late rounds. So today, I think the goal will be to a hero RB, punt RB2, try to get one in the first couple of rounds, hammer some wide receivers, maybe get a quarterback, and then try to see what running backs are available to us a little bit later on. So we'll get a little bit of a feel. I think this is going to be a fun exercise. We'll do it here in the next block. Other things we're going to talk about on this show, we have wide receiver futures via FanDuel. Just taking a look at what we've done so far on the show. We've taken a look at, you know, receiving yard leaders over at DraftKings, the futures. We took a look at reception leaders. This is a little bit different. FanDuel's hanging like a future prop where it's wide receivers to have at least 1,250 receiving yards this season. There it is, a sneak peek. So we'll go over that, and we'll dive into this a little bit deeper. I skipped a couple players and added a couple guys near the bottom, like Calvin Ridley, Christian Watson, DJ Moore, some players that I think some decent value there. But, I mean, Justin Jefferson at -360. We're not going to get involved with those, but you can parlay. You know, for futures, I kind of lean to the under more than the over. You know, an injury happens, anything happens, it's like your future is gone. Plus, you got to wait months to get your money back. But it is fun to kind of look at. And I think you can look at it from a projection standpoint. I'm going to share some of our projections over at ftnfantasy.com and just show you how they match up. Like, hey, we have this player for 1,200 yards, and if FanDuel's hanging a plus 360, I think it's, you know, worth a little bit of a sprinkle. So, you know, as we get closer into closer to week one of the NFL season, we're going to continue to look at these things and relate them to a betting standpoint, a fantasy standpoint, and just a real life NFL standpoint. The All-Star game yesterday, success, I think, on the show. We gave the NL, finally got it done, right? They had lost nine straight games, and we did have the under. And, I mean, the under is hit now. I believe it's 14-1-2 over the last 17 All-Star games. The under was at 7.5, and we did not have to sweat that one out. We did have to sweat out the NL coming back, but a solid day yesterday, 2-for-2. We did have Ronald Acuña Jr. as the MVP, which did not happen. We're going to give him some love on this show. He is on a record-setting pace in terms of stolen bases. He is lighting the world on fire. And as of right now, he is not only the heavy favorite to win the NL MVP, he is the number one player in fantasy baseball. We're going to take a look now that it's at the halfway point of the top 12 hitters and the top 12 starting pitchers in fantasy baseball. And what does it mean for your fantasy baseball league? Maybe we can see out a couple buy low and sell high candidates. We'll do the same thing tomorrow. Dig a little bit deeper, maybe some players that are underperforming that we think are going to have strong second halves, because I know a lot of people are out there and, you know, high stakes leagues, there's no trades, but people, casual players, myself included, in Yahoo, ESPN, CBS, Fantrax, whatever format you do play, you can make some trades. And the fantasy baseball trade deadline is coming up. The real MLB trade deadline is coming up. Did you guys hear in Seattle, Shohei, you know, they were recruiting Shohei Ohtani last night. He had some great things to say, right? He had never experienced that before. I'm sure he likes Seattle, likes being on the West Coast. Ichiro is one of his, you know, idols that he grew up watching as well. I can just see it. It's a writing on the wall. And why not? I'll just be a Seattle fan. Heck, I like the Seahawks this year. I like their futures. I like Geno. I'm talking up, you know, the backfield and the defense improving this year. Heck, I think they can win the NFC West. Really like the Kraken, right? We had a lot of fun riding the Kraken during like an 8-game road winning streak they had as dogs in every one of those games. We were sipping Kraken. We were spending money on Kraken. So, I mean, heck, I may just be a M's fan, whatever. Like, it's all good. Shohei, I think he's done in LA. I think he's done in LA, at least in Anaheim. I think he's done, but that's enough. There's no depressing stuff. We're going to break and we'll dive into the mock draft. We're going to do a couple, we'll hang out for a couple segments here, you know, roll through really a mock and my strategy behind some of these picks. We'll take a look at the board and we'll recap it after, and we'll get into some other stuff in a little bit. You guys have any questions, any comments? Now is the time to leave them there. Brzeese 91 afternoon. Welcome in. Hang tight, Brzeese. We'll be back after the break. We'll get into a fantasy football mock draft here, and we will do a hero RB strategy. More about that after the break. Keep it locked. Welcome back in Game Plus Network, Mean Streets here live, as well as our FTN Network YouTube page. And as you can see, we are over at Fantasy Pros, draftwizard.fantasypros.com, our friends over at F Pros. And we're going to do a little bit of a mock draft here. Again, we've been doing some underdog best ball things and like that. We're going to just mix it up just a little bit and talk different strategies here, and we'll walk through. So if you're unfamiliar, and again, I highly recommend doing as many mock drafts as you can. Maybe you can't draft, you know, best ball in your area over at underdogfantasy.com. I mean, super fun, right? Promo code FTN over there. They'll match your first deposit 100% up to $100. But for those in the Toronto area, they told me they couldn't do any underdog best ball drafts. So they wanted to see some mock drafts. And again, we're going to do this and we're going to walk through different strategies in the upcoming weeks. For me in particular, for this draft, which probably may be one of my favorite strategies, is like punt RB2 here or RB. I like to get a top 10 running back. I'm going to hammer home some wide receivers and we'll dive into some value running backs. Again, I suggest doing several mocks, try different strategies, get a feel. You really do get a feel. Hey, I don't like my team when I go heavy wide receiver. I don't like my team when I go heavy running back. Maybe you want a balanced attack. What I will say is that, you know, don't be married to each and every strategy. Mix things up a little bit. You know, you could go outside your comfort zone, you know, letting the draft fall to you. Maybe you are somebody who likes to go running back early, but maybe you're picking in the 9 spot and it's just heavy RB and you change your tune a little bit. It's okay to let the draft fall to you, value fall to you. You know, in super flex leagues, for example, you will see quarterbacks fly off the board in the first round, multiple, maybe even 6, 7, 8 quarterbacks in the first 12 picks. First 12 picks, maybe 8 quarterbacks. Doesn't necessarily mean that you have to go quarterback. You could switch it up and say, hey, now I want to take the value on the board. Everybody's going quarterback, zig, I'll zag. I'll go another way And then you hammer home the value, running back, maybe a couple wide receivers, and then you dive into the quarterback. You don't want to get yourself into trouble in a super flex. Like, you probably want to leave with three, maybe four quarterbacks. You know, if you have two top 10 quarterbacks, you're picking your third quarterback near the end of the draft. If you're living in the, I don't know, 12 to 17 range with Geno Smith, Daniel Jones, Tua, Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, you know, you probably want to get a top eight quarterback, top 10 quarterback, but that's me personally. That's my preference. But if these quarterbacks are flying off the board, then you dive into the value. And then maybe you, once you get into, you know, the top 10 fall, you get into round three or four, then you can get yourself a couple quarterbacks and you will have better running backs and alpha wide receivers than the rest of the league. And that's a way to kind of be different. But again, let the draft fall to you. So here we are over at Fantasy Pros, draftwizard.fantasypros.com. Let you do any kind of mock draft that you want to do for free. You can see you can roll through here, standard PPR, half PPR. We'll do PPR here. Snake, of course. You 12 teams, you can adjust how many, you know, people you want in your team. 24. Oh my goodness. What'd your team look like with 24? Draft spot. We can randomize it. We got one quarterback, two running backs. Let's go with three wide receivers here. We got a tight end and then we have a flex, a wide receiver, running back, or a tight end. Again, you can do super flex. We won't bother with defenses or kickers. My advice to you guys would be to draft those positions near the end. I still see people taking, you know, the Eagles and the 49ers in high stakes leagues ahead of like Rashee Rice, Nico Collins. Like, just give me the upside, you know, play as a late wide receiver or running back. And I'm fine if I don't have the top tier defense. I'm going to stream the position anyways. And we'll talk about it on the show. We'll identify some defenses to take in the later part of your draft with maybe an easy schedule to start. Six bench and away we go. Let's randomize here, even though, yeah, let's just randomize it and see what we get. Third. All right. So let's start this thing. Where actually do we start it? Okay. Start your draft. We're doing all right here, Quan. We're doing okay. Boom. Okay. So we can look at the draft board. You have options. I took the clock off because we don't need to be rushed here. So we have the draft board. CMC, Austin Eckler, 1-2. You can't predict these things. You know, every draft is different. Honestly, my home league is heavy wide receivers. The first 10 picks, I know seven of them are going to be, seven for sure, are going to be wide receivers. Kelsey may be in there as well. This draft may fall differently. It may be all running backs. So just everybody is different. I think when you see some expert drafts across the industry, it's heavy running backs. Like, guys is like running back, running back, running back, running back. Everybody wants a bell cow back. They want two of their first three picks bell cow. I think I'm just different. I've changed my tune over the years. It's a passing league. That's where I'm at. So you get suggestions here, of course, with the expert consensus rankings. My rankings can be found over at ftmfantasy.com. They can also be found over at Fantasy Pros here as well. So you have the draft on the side. It'll walk you through the first couple picks. Olave, you man. There's some nice team names here, right? A Jackson of all trades, worth every penny. Bend it like Beckham. Not bad here. Judge Judy's. I've seen that one before. Multi Trasking. That's okay. Kyle Trask fans out there. Diami Vice. Okay. All right. We're getting into it. Tiers. You could look at a cheat sheet here. You could see the overall quarterbacks broken into tiers again from the expert consensus ranking over at Fantasy Pros. Myself, Jeff Ratcliffe. Ratcliffe was the number one ranker in the game a couple of years ago over at FTM Fantasy. He's always near the top. I think he had another top five finish this past year. So this is a little bit of a guideline. I know some leagues will actually just print off this cheat sheet and give it to people, you know, in their league. So everybody has the same board and they're all looking at the same thing and overall. And sometimes, you know, you just know what people are going to pick when they see that. I'd highly recommend using one of our cheat sheets over at FTN Fantasy. Be a little bit different. Everybody should have that. Okay, but draft board, suggestions. Let's get after it. And of course, you guys know I'm a pick three. It's like a steal. It's not even fair. Like Justin Jefferson, he should be number one overall, if not number two overall. I know Jake Seeley has Cooper Kupp there at first overall. So I will go with Justin Jefferson, which just feels a little bit weird to have him a third overall. But here's the way that the draft, and again, this is, every league is going to be different. Best ball drafts will not go like this. Over at Underdog Fantasy will be heavy wide receiver to start, but we have CMC first, Austin Eckler second, Justin Jefferson to myself, which I feel like is a steal here. Tony Pollard, like fourth overall. Okay. Don't highly recommend that. Saquon, Bijan Robinson, Jonathan Taylor. And we got Ja'Marr Chase, Josh Jacobs. We get into wide receivers towards the end. A little bit of a run here with Cooper Kupp, Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, Stephon Diggs to start the second round with A.J. Brown, CeeDee Lamb, Nick Chubb. So a little bit of a running back. Like these users here, these teams are running back to start. So we can keep an eye and see what kind of squad they have as well. For me, I did think I would get a decent running back here at pick three. So we're still going to, maybe we'll just change it up and this will be a zero RB strategy. But Najee, Ramondre, Breece Hall, Aaron Jones. Aaron Jones a little bit early here in the second round. Nick Chubb, an absolute steal, right? I think Nick Chubb, for me personally, I would have him after Eckler as RB3 overall. 1,500, you know, career highs across the board last year in terms of attempts, rushing yards, and total touchdowns. Now 120-plus carries is gone from Kareem Hunt and 25, including in the red zone, and like 45 some odd targets. Jerome Ford. Well, you know, he has zero career catches and he has, I think, 12 rushing yards for his career. Is Nick Chubb. That clearly can't say it five times fast. So let's go back to the suggestions. Again, this is going to be a little bit of a different draft, I think. What do we got for running backs? You know, Derrick Henry, we could go this route and do a Henry and still have a hero RB. You know, let's do that. Because I don't really think that Mixon and ETN and Gibbs and Walker really are hero RBs. I don't think that these guys are our true bell cows. Mixon kind of. ETN may get some goal line touches, carries. It's a little bit too early for him. So one more year for Derrick Henry. He was first in the NFL in rushing attempts last season. He's been top three, at least in fantasy points per game over the last 3 years. He did come off a season where he had touched career highs and targets, receiving yards, and receptions. Actually, something we talked a lot about on this show. It's something that I don't think enough. I just felt like, I'll be honest, I felt like a loser talking about Derrick Henry in the offseason and how he was going to see an uptick in targets and receiving yards. Nobody wanted to talk about that, but he did. And we talked a lot about his receiving yard prop at like 10.5 all year, his catch prop at 1.5. It wasn't a whole lot in terms of his work through the air, but it was an uptick. And why wouldn't you give this guy screen passes? It's like Chubb. Why wouldn't you give him screen passes overall? A Jackson of all trades is selling. That's a good one. All right, so we got Henry here, and let's take a look at the draft board and see how it's fallen. So Davante Adams falling to the third is most likely not going to happen. Again, heavy running back here to start. This is a little different, I think. But we will see Hall, Ramondre, Harris potentially in the second round. Gibbs is a little bit early here, and Kenneth Walker. But I know it's kind of random. I know a lot of people over at Fantasy Pros, maybe with their overall rankings, they're heavy running backs. I'm a little bit different here. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to do this for a couple segments here. We'll walk through the draft, some pieces, some strategy things. If you guys have any questions, leave them there. Yeah, we'll break and we'll do a couple more picks. We'll rapid fire through a couple more. So keep your lock. Mean Streets continues here on Game Plus Network. Back in Mean Streets here live on Game Plus Network, FTN Network YouTube page, taking part in a live mock draft here over at fantasypros.com. Troy Noark in the house. Are you worried about Eckler losing goal line touches? Nobody signed there, right? I'm not worried about it. I used top four in red zone rushing attempts last season. He was top four in terms of the percentage of his team's red zone touches he had last season, 64%, I do believe. And he leads the NFL in touchdowns among running backs over the last two seasons. So I'm not worried at all. I don't think they currently have a goal line back on their squad. Eckler is a guy that's going to get, you know, a couple carries, going to get some targets inside the red zone. We could see Herbert talk a little bit more, but no, I think that the Chargers have been trying to get a running back for Austin Eckler, and Eckler has been very vocal. You know, he's always talking about fantasy football in the community, which I love, but he's talked about staying fresh, you know, for a legitimate run into the, you know, for to win a Super Bowl. And they've tried it with Larry Roundtree, with Joshua Kelly, with Isaiah Spiller, with Justin Jackson. They've had multiple backs where they've tried to maybe lighten the workload, first and second down workload. But when you have a weapon like Austin Eckler, you want him on the field. So I am not worried at all. I wouldn't pick him second overall. I mean, my overall rankings are Jefferson, Chase, Kupp, Tyreek, and then I get into CMC. Then I kind of dive back into the wide receivers with Eckler and Travis Kelce. And then The only other running back I would take in the first round would be Nick Chubb, and I could probably get him in the second round. But let's get back to the draft here. Again, there's some things here. Take it with a grain of salt. Every mock is different. That's why you do them. Pollard here, fourth overall, is a complete reach. I do have some concerns. He's got one game with 20-plus carries. He had 7 goal line carries last year, only converted 2 of them. You know, maybe Zeke made him better. Like, it's a good 1-2 punch. Like, Pollard is fantastic. He's electric. He's explosive. He's great after the catch. Like, it's all those things. He checks a lot of boxes, but he is not, I don't know if he's built like a back that's going to, you know, get over 250 carries. I wouldn't be shocked that they brought Zeke back in here. So let's try to keep the questions coming. I'll try to get to the mock here. We'll go back to the board again. They have suggestions here. The right side of the board, you can see the draft order. The left side here, you can see, you know, what's coming up and things like that. We're doing a hero RB strategy here today, which is like a top 12 running back. We got one in Derrick Henry. And to be honest, he kind of fell for us. Derrick Henry should go ahead of Aaron Jones, Breece Hall, probably Ramondre Stevenson, Najee Harris. But we will see more grabs out of the backfield from those two guys. But Henry after Aaron Jones and Breece Hall, you know, with the rumors surrounding potential Dalvin Cook landing there is a little uneasy. And I do have some shares of Breece Hall. I love him as a player. I don't think they should get Cook, but maybe he's not completely healthy. Let's dive back into the wide receivers here. We got Garrett Wilson, Jalen Waddle, Chris Olave, Devontae Smith. All these guys are in the same tier for me. The one difference, I suppose, it would be Garrett Wilson here, because we have Jalen Waddle, who's like 1B to Tyreek Hill's 1A, T. Higgins to Ja'Marr Chase. Chris Olave, you know, maybe slightly early. I don't like him above those other guys, even have Devontae Smith ahead of him, but he'd be 1B with A.J. Brown, and, you know, as of now, Michael Thomas is healthy, but Michael Thomas has played 10 of the Saints' last 50 games over the last 3 years. So Chris Olave is clearly the one there. We'll go with Garrett Wilson. We haven't kept an eye on buys. I guess it's something that you should keep an eye, but we won't worry about it too much here. Let's go with Garrett Wilson. We'll take a look at the draft board and see what else is falling to us here. So we went Garrett Wilson with the third pick in the third round, Keenan Allen after that. We get our second tight end in Mark Andrews, Jalen Waddle, T. Higgins, Chris Olave, Devontae Smith. So really good wide receivers there for the teams that went RB, Bijan and Ramondre with Waddle, Taylor and Harris with T, and then Jacobs and Chubb with Devontae Smith. I really like that. And then hammered home another running back here. So heavy running back for two of these three teams that started RB, and even Tony Pollard, Aaron Jones, and J.K. Dobbins. I don't like the look of that team at all, although I do really like J.K. Dobbins. So we get a bit of a quarterback run here. These quarterbacks are going earlier in underdog because, you know, teams want to stack. They're roughly, their ADPs are around 18, you know, end of the second, early third. Patrick Mahomes, Jalen Hurts, Josh Allen. I don't really have a preference. They're all in the same tier for me. I do have Jalen Hurts number one. He led all quarterbacks in fantasy points per game. He led all quarterbacks in goal line carries with 20. He converted 9 of them. He's got over 1,500 rushing yards, 20 rushing touchdowns over the last 2 years. And heck, the schedule is tougher. So maybe he'll throw the football a little bit more in the second half. Maybe games will be a little bit more competitive for the Philadelphia Eagles. But that sneak that they do in Philly is just, it's a cheat code. I know teams try to get rid of it. It's automatic. Calvin Ridley here in the fourth, Deebo Samuel. I'm a little bit uneasy about Deebo Samuel, although I would take Amari Cooper ahead of him, maybe Jerry Jeudy. I mean, Deebo Samuel, if you look at the last 4 years about Deebo Samuel, you know, 10 points per game, 10 points per game, 18, 10 last year. You know, the goal line carries, the rushing attempts that he got 2 years ago, he just didn't get them last year. And why would he? When you have CMC, you use him inside the red zone. You don't use Deebo. So I'm a little bit uneasy about Deebo here. Joe Mixon, not super efficient, but he's going to catch a lot of passes out of the backfield. Amari Cooper, Cam Akers, going a little bit earlier than I thought. Cam Akers here in the fourth is a guy usually in the fifth or the sixth. But I do believe Akers will live in this fourth round, early fifth, once we get closer there. I'll try to keep an eye on questions. Maybe I can get to them after the break when we dive in here. What are five teams whose offense game plans that prioritize using their RBs more often? That's a great question. You know, off the top of my head, you know, Tennessee's a run first offense. Atlanta's definitely going to be a run first offense with Arthur Smith. They're going to run the ball. I know that the Raiders probably want to run the ball a lot with Josh Jacobs, but they just don't have the personnel in the secondary, I don't think, to keep up with teams in the inside the AFC. But those are some run first teams. You know, Dallas, people may think that Dallas is going to be run first with Schottenheimer there, Kellen Moore gone. I don't believe that will be the case. I know McCarthy's going to call some plays there. The Colts will probably be a run first team. I'd say even like Carolina and Houston will try to run the ball a little bit more, have, you know, with the young and experienced quarterbacks. And, you know, for the Colts, they got a decent offensive line. Jonathan Taylor is a bell cow back that they can hand the ball off to and run the rock quite often. And I wouldn't be shocked if Green Bay takes a running first approach with a team that, again, another inexperienced quarterback. You got two really good running backs there in A.J. Dillon and Aaron Jones. So we'll see. And Cleveland has been run first in the past, but, you know, new regime there. Well, new quarterback, at least with Watson. I think that they'll probably be more of a pass first team. Let's get back into, we'll get the handcuffs thing. And don't handcuff your backs. I don't agree with handcuffing your running backs. If you get CMC here in the, what do we got here? You could do CMC, but honestly, let's just get to the draft. Let's show you where Elijah Mitchell goes. Like it's a pricey handcuff. You know, who's the handcuff for the Chargers? Austin Eckler. We don't know. I mean, multiple guys. Dallas. We don't know. Clueless. Bijan. We know it's Tyler Allgeier. The one thing I don't like about handcuffing your running backs is it feels like a wasted roster spot on your bench. That's it. It's when are you ever going to start that guy? For example, in years past, you had Cook and Madison. Say you had Cook and Madison. You took Cook in the second round, third round, wherever you took him. And then you took Alexander Madison, who's been a healthy or an expensive handcuff over the past couple of years. You took him, say, I don't know, ninth round. When are you ever going to play Alexander Madison over Dalvin Cook? Never. You never. What if Cook plays a full season? Heck, he basically just played one. Were you ever playing Alexander Madison? You're never playing both, right? It's not a committee that way. It wasn't a committee that way. And it's just a wasted roster spot on your bench. If you handcuff other people's running backs, then you don't have a wasted roster spot. Maybe you're playing them in a pinch come bye weeks. Maybe an injury happens, you play them. Maybe an injury happens to the starting and boom, you already have that handcuff. You're maximizing your upside. I would highly recommend handcuffing other people's running back shooting for upside in the later part of your draft and not handcuffing your back, because when you get down to week 8 and you have some injuries and you want to pick up somebody off the waiver wire, who are you dropping? You're probably dropping that handcuff that you haven't been able to play. It's a little bit different when you're spending the high capital on certain guys. If there is a clear-cut running back, maybe you go Jalen Warren if you have Najee Harris. Maybe. Jalen Warren's not going to cost you a whole lot. But, you know, Tajee Spears, maybe, you know, with Derrick Henry. But let's get back to this. Let's get back to this draft board. We'll do one more pick here before we get going. We are doing the zero hero RB here. So let's see. We dive back into the wide receivers. What do we have for wide receivers? We got a little cheat sheet here. You know, tier one of quarterbacks is gone. Where's the wide receivers here? So they're heavy here. Chris Godwin, Drake London, DJ Moore, some pretty good options there for a wide receiver three. My guy Christian Watson, probably able to get him a little bit later on. Miles Sanders, you know, he broke out when he came into the league. I mean, 50 catches as a running back, as a rookie, just never had that work through the air again after that. We're going to shy away. We'll keep our strategy and continue with the wide receivers here. According to my personal rankings, I do have Christian Watson ranked ahead of these guys, but we can play the draft board a little bit. We may be able to get him in the next round. I actually don't mind Chris Godwin here. You know, Chris Godwin is a guy that I know will get a lot of targets. The quarterback play is certainly spotty, whether it's Baker, whether it's, you know, Kyle Trask, right? We had a Trask user in here. It could be either or. I would expect Tampa Bay to probably start Baker. Feels like maybe they think that they can be competitive with Baker. He did a few good things with the Rams last year, and then eventually turning the page over to Kyle Trask and seeing what they have. But, you know, it doesn't seem like a sexy pick here. I actually took Chris Godwin in the Independence Day Invitational in the 7th round as my wide receiver 4, I believe, but that league is a little bit different. Two tight ends you have to start. He's got a safe floor. The guy I'm worried about is Mike Evans, right? Very boom or bust last season, had like 43 fantasy points in the final game of the season to get him inside the top 12. But I think eight times he had 10 or fewer fantasy points. It's like half of the games. And now, you know, as a guy who's a big ADOT guy, he's, you know, probably a Hall of Famer. He's nothing but 1,000 yards and double digit touchdowns every year. But, you know, how accurate is the quarterback play going to be if he is going to be targeted down the field? I feel like this is an easy completion. Maybe there's more upside here with Drake London, but I'm going to go with Chris Godwin. I'm going to do one more pick before we get out of here. I like this. Quan's got stats for us too that we can address in the next block. DJ Moore. I think we got to go DJ Moore. Christian Watson. So Watson was available to me there. Again, we're starting a draft here with, you know, one bell cow running back and hammering home some wide receivers, just seeing what backs are available to you. I really like Christian Watson. I'm such a fan of Watson. From week 10 to week 18, he was the wide receiver 7 in fantasy football. He hardly touched the field to start the season. Remember, he got hurt before training camp opened, so he was behind the eight ball, and then he played week one, like 80% of the snaps, I think actually like 66%, and then he just got hurt. He wasn't with the team. It was Romeo Dubs who was getting all of those snaps, and then from week 10 on, he had 80% of the snaps on average. From fantasy points per game standpoint, he was wide receiver 4. Only Hopkins, Justin Jefferson, and CeeDee Lamb had more fantasy points per game than Christian Watson from week 10 to week 18. I'm a big believer in the skill set. I think I've just talked myself into it. I think the fantasy community probably wants me to go DJ Moore, right? DJ Moore. I think we're going to go Christian Watson here. I think we are. We'll do more. It doesn't matter. Same thing applies. I got 4 stud wide receivers. Bats. I know, right? Stick to your rankings. Heck, I probably could get Christian Watson here. No, he went there. It's all good. The point is, I got 4 stud wide receivers here. I may get involved with a quarterback or a tight end after the break. I definitely will. And we'll talk about it after the break. Let's break. We'll be back. Bats for everybody. Hang tight. Welcome back in. So there's a question there from Troy about the Bijan hype for real. The Bijan hype is getting it's getting out of control. I mean, the fantasy community is telling me in this mock it's not so much, but you know, an underdog fantasy and where he's going is his ADP in high stakes leagues, roughly between 7 and pick 10 and 11. The fantasy community is telling me that he's going to be the best running back in football. That's it. I mean, CMC could be on a tier in his own, and I think he does belong in a tier in his own. Eckler's close to that tier, very close. But the fantasy community is telling me that, you know, Bijan is going to be a top running back as a rookie. He is going to be a guy that returns value at this pick. I think that the fantasy community is drafting him at his absolute peak, at his cost. There's a lot of potential disappointment in taking him, you know, 7th overall here with 6th overall. I saw somebody tweet yesterday over under 1500 rushing yards for Bijan Robinson. It's just getting out of control. There have been over the last 10 years, 8 running backs have had 1500 rushing yards. 8. It's happened 10 times. Derrick Henry did it a couple times. It's rare to see 1500 plus rushing yards from a running back. I understand they have an extra game. Nick Chubb has been the best pure runner in the NFL, I think, over the last 3 years. I mean, he's done it once. He just did it. I know he had another season just shy of 1,500 yards. I think he'd get a 1,500 total yards. It is a run-first offense. It's a good offensive line. They spent the capital on him. Tyler Allgeier had 1,000 yards on 200 carries. And that's another thing. Like, Allgeier is a pretty good back. I mean, he was among the leaders in yards after contact. Maybe they use him a little bit, too. Like, maybe they just don't run Bijan into the ground for the first 4 weeks. Maybe it is, you know, a 60-40 to start. And I just can't take him. I'm a little uneasy taking running backs that early anyways, because I want an alpha wide receiver. But I can't justify taking him over Saquon Taylor or Chubb, as guys I know have done it year in and year out. That's where I'm at with Bijan. But I honestly think that I'm on an island. So you could bookmark the show and come at me later. This couldn't have worked out any better, you know, getting DJ Moore and then having Justin Fields available to us here. And we're going to do that. Justin Fields, here in the end of the 6th round, we see the second tier of quarterbacks here, Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow, and Fields. And that's how I have them rank: Lamar, Joe Burrow, and Fields in that tier for me. Certainly comfortable taking a quarterback in this range, especially one with a rushing floor like Justin Fields, over 1,100 rushing yards from Fields. And, you know, I got him here with DJ Moore. You don't have to stack him. You don't have to stack by all means, you don't have to. I mean, you do want to do that in best ball for sure. You want to get, you want to maximize your potential and your upside. I do like to stack if I can. I'm not going to go into my draft saying, oh, I got a stack here. But it did work out for me last year in Jake's league and in the flex league and a super flex league. I had Hollywood Brown with Kyler, and then I had Kirk with Herbert and T-Law, Trevor Lawrence. And I loved it, right? When those guys hooked up, it was double the points. And, you know, you have some dud weeks, but you really do have some boom weeks there as well. We'll have to ramp it up here a little bit. Do we want to get back into the running back? This is probably where we dive into the running backs. We got four stud wide receivers. We have two top 10s. We have Godwin and DJ Moore. I mean, DJ Moore has been among the leaders in receiving yards over the last 5 years. He just hasn't, you know, had a lot of touchdowns. I think this is going to be the best quarterback he's ever played with, and the way that Fields can scramble and the way that DJ Moore can run routes and get down the field and an explosive after the catch. You have some big boom weeks from DJ Moore, and he's my fourth wide receiver. So let's get into now. This is where if you go zero RB or hero RB or punt RB2, this is where you want to get in back into the running backs here into what, round seven. This is where we will start to hammer home some running backs. So we'll do this rapid fire here. We got Rashad White, 50 grabs last year as a rookie, no Leonard Fournette. It's going to be a sneaky offense, but he's going to get a lot of touches, and I like him overall as a player. Alvin Kamara in the news, felony charges dropped. Not sure what it means for him from an NFL standpoint. The NFL now has an opportunity to step in and, you know, suspend him. We'll see what happens. I still think he's going to get anywhere from 4 to 6 games, but I just don't know. I'm not a lawyer, and I have no idea what Roger Goodell is thinking ever. Into the eighth round here, we probably want to go another running back. Let's look at our cheat sheet and see what running backs are available to us. Alvin Kamara, Antonio Gibson, AJ Dillon, Bijan Robinson. So it's interesting, Gibson and Robinson, you know, this is a full point league, PPR, no JD McKissick. Gibson, wide receiver coming out of college, converted running back. Ron Rivera really has been all over him over the past couple of years as an East and West runner, needs him to be more of a North runner down the field, but he's just not a running back. So I think he's now in a situation where he will excel. But I think Brian, will be that goal line back, will be the first and second down back, will get more touches. With all of that said, I do believe Al Kamara is a very interesting target here for me to get as my third running back. I probably will do this. I think personally, I would do it. So I'm going to do it for you guys. But if you were a little bit on the fence with Alvin Kamara, you didn't want to take that risky play there, then I would probably go AJ Dillon or Brian Robinson as guys that will be goal line backs inside their offenses. Running backs I project for like 15 touches a game. Not going to catch a whole lot out of the backfield, but Kamara, crowded backfield there at the moment. But when he is back and he's fully healthy, maybe I should just, I'm doing this again. I'm second guessing myself. Like, do I need to take Alvin Kamara? I think personally for me, I would do it. Let's go Dillon here. Let's go Dillon. We'll just forget about Alvin Kamara, but here in the seventh, eighth round, especially as somebody who has avoided running backs early, that's pretty good value for Alvin Kamara on your squad. I'm doing it. This is what I would do in my own draft as I'm doing it. High risk, high reward, whatever you guys want to do. But again, I'm thinking here into November and December, Alvin Kamara potentially back. It's a risky play. Gets suspended for 12 games, screwed. But if he gets suspended for 6, I got him for the second half of the season, and he's my RB3, and I took him late. So this is how we're going to roll. We're going to do this. And then we'll do one more running back here. We'll get another running back, and yeah, the other two guys that I was thinking about getting are available to me here. And I will go AJ Dillon, actually. A slight lean to AJ. Brzezis91, what, you're the Packers fan here inside this group? Talk to me about AJ Dillon, and we will break, and we'll come back, and we'll rapid fire through the rest of the draft. We're getting towards just taking some flyers and some sleepers and things like that. So we'll be back in a couple. Hang tight. Back in. Quan had some nice pace and run stats according to our pace and run pace tool over at FTN Daily, FTNFantasy.com. The top 5 run heavy teams, Troy, if you're still hanging around, Chicago, Atlanta, Baltimore, Philly, and Carolina. A lot of that does make sense. But with Monken now in town for Baltimore, I think that they'll pass the ball a little bit more. Atlanta will stay true to the run. Chicago, Philly, of course, with Jalen Hurts. You know, some of those numbers are skewed because he has 10 rushing attempts per game over the last 2 years, which leads all quarterbacks, and then Carolina, which does make sense, you know, and I think they'll still be a run heavy team. So let's get back to the draft here. We're in the 10th round. We got a few more picks here, and then we'll break and we'll recap the draft. So for those that were looking for some fantasy baseball and receiver futures, we'll have to do that tomorrow, but I think this is a better exercise. So I don't have a tight end yet, but I see that two teams around me do have tight ends in Goddard and Pitt. So I think that I can maybe potentially wait here a little bit. Something I like to do in my own leagues is most people don't draft two tight ends like in this format. Tight end here, tight end here, tight end, tight end, tight end, tight end. Does this team have a tight end? No. So one more going to go. No teams over here on this side, just Travis Kelce. So there's going to be about four, maybe five more tight ends. But heck, maybe this draft will be a little bit different and somebody will draft a second. But it's something I usually take an eye, take a look. And if I don't get, you know, a top tier tight end like a Hockenson or a Travis Kelce or Mark Andrews, I typically like to wait it out. And it's something I've addressed on the show quite often. So we'll see what guys we get here in a little bit. But I am not going to go to the tight end room. Maybe another running back on the board here. I mean, won't do Jamal Williams. Rashad Penny is interesting for me. We'll take a look at the cheat sheet and see what we got available to us. Let's go down and see the wide receivers. Do we get back into the wide receiver room here? Alec Pierce? No, I don't think. I don't think we do. Do we get another running back? Let's see. What else do we have here in terms of overall running backs? Where is... There it is up here. Jerick McKinnon, Khalil Herbert. I already got Fields. I don't like to have a running back with my quarterback, really, especially one that doesn't catch a lot of passes. I got Alvin Kamara, Jamal Williams. Rashad Penny's not a bad little flyer here. It will be a split backfield. But I'll do it as my fourth back, Rashad Penny. Expected to be a split backfield there, but I expect Rashad Penny to get first and second down opportunities, and I do expect him to be the goal line back. And I know Philly has Jalen Hurts, and we just talked about him being the goal line back, really. He was inside the top five in red zone rushing attempts among everybody, but Miles Sanders still had double-digit touchdowns. We'll go with Rashad Penny, and we'll probably stop with the backs for now, maybe one more in just a little bit. Let's take a look at the draft board. What do we got here? So Hunter Renfro, a couple, but I like McKinnon. You know, Algier here, right? Algier is not to a Bijan owner. So again, not handcuffing your own back. I like McKinnon, especially in this format, at a PPR format. He was somebody I was thinking about over Rashad. But looking at my backs here, I mean, we've recapped a little bit, but Henry, even if Kamara misses some time, I got White and Dylan and Penny here to kind of fill the void. Henry's always going to be my RB1. And then I got the four wide receivers, three spots, one flex. So I'm rolling out all those wide receivers. I probably will take a look at tight ends. No, I'll wait out a little bit. I'm actually fine living in this Njoku, Schultz, and Konko range, and I feel like I'm going to roll the dice and see if I can get one of those guys on the way back. So let's take a look at the wide receivers again. Let's go to our cheat sheet here and see what we have, because there's a few that I don't like. I'm not interested in Shark, Osborne, Pierce, I don't mind. Wandell, too much going on. Shaheed, more of a boomer bust. Hodgins, okay. Curtis Samuel, not interested. You know, there's some guys here that I have ranked pretty high that are way down the board. But let's go to Alec Pierce. We'll do Alec Pierce here. We'll get ourselves a Colt wide receiver. Where is he? There he is. Alec Pierce. Who else? Only 1% of experts agree with this pick, but that's okay. We'll do that. We'll do one more and we'll break, and we should be able to get into the tight ends, right? What did we see in this round? We saw more running backs. Ooh, we did see. Whew. So I rolled the dice, and I'm not going to get Njoku or Konku. So I rolled the dice and I didn't get my two favorite tight end targets, but I am going to get my third in this range. That's what I'll say is my favorite tight end targets. I get Dalton Schultz. I get arguably the number one option in the Houston passing game, right? Is a guy that could get 100 targets, could catch 70 passes. The quarterback play is not going to be great, but CJ Stroud, I think, is going to surprise some people. Let's select him. We'll finish out the draft on the way back, and we'll do a little bit of a recap. Throw me a break one more time, Quan. Hang tight, guys. Akin, yeah, Troy, you bring up a good point here. If the Bears are that high in like running the football, you mentioned Khalil Herbert. I really like Khalil Herbert. I have him in a couple of dynasty leagues. He was a buy low candidate for me after this season, but the Bears went and got Deontay Foreman, and they went and drafted Roshan Johnson. Plus, they have a running quarterback in Herbert, you know, it's, or in Justin Fields, excuse me. It's I really like him. I think he's going to emerge as the guy. I think Roschon is a pretty good back in his own right. Maybe we're talking about him being the guy next season. I think it's a little bit of a risky pick, but it's one that could certainly pan out. Let's just finish up this draft here. I'm going to go wide receiver to finish it off, just the way we pretty much started. And we'll take some high upside guys. We'll bypass all of these guys. Mechie, I like. Woods, no thanks. Robinson, no. Paris Campbell doesn't score touchdowns. Jalen Hyatt, boomer bust. I think he's worth a little bit of a sprinkle late. I mean, him and Jonathan Mingo. Josh Downs already had Alec Pierce, Jane Reed, I like. Rashee Rice, there it is. Gonna hammer home that one for sure. I think he's a good late round target, mid to late. He'll go much earlier than this, I think, when we get closer to the season. He's Mahomes' guy. Mahomes wanted him. I'm listening. These guys are working out together. Yeah, I mean, Kadarius Toney hasn't shown me a whole lot in the NFL. Sky Moore, I think, you know, he could have more work through the year. MBS hasn't shown me a whole lot either. Just kind of like a one-trick pony deep down the field. I think the other guy that I was looking at was, did Jaden Reed go? Jaden Reed. I thought I just had him there. Maybe I didn't. Jaden. Oh, he did. That's okay. He went draft board. Let's take a look at the draft board. Some of these flyers. Reed. I got sniped. Anthony Richardson's not going to go that late either. People are just going to take shots on him. And again, you don't need a second quarterback when you, like, I got Fields. I'm not going to need a second quarterback. I'm going to play Fields no matter what. In every single match, I'm going to play him no matter what. And that's how it's going to go. I'll just worry about a quarterback when there's a bye week there. I'll take Mechie. I don't mind taking Mechie here. Mechie, Hyatt, Downs, Shakir. These guys are good late round flyers. Rich James is even a good one. That's kind of where I draw the line. Cedric Tillman, I think, in a deeper league. Puka Nacua in a deeper league for sure. But we'll just finish off this draft and we'll go Mechie. Second round pick 2 years ago, beat cancer on the field, ready to go. I'm excited about him. So here's the draft. There's my team. Justin Fields, Derrick Henry, Rashad White, Justin Jefferson, Garrett Wilson, Chris Godwin, Dalton Schultz, DJ Moore in the flex, Alvin Kamara, AJ Dillon, Rashad Penny, Alec Pierce, Rashee Rice, and John Mechie. So I got some upside flyers here at the wide receiver position. I'm loaded at wide receiver. I got a dual threat quarterback. I got a tight end that could be the number one target on his new team in Houston, especially a red zone target. And, you know, I think I'm okay here at the running back position, right? That was the goal here, to see what our running backs could look like when we kind of avoid the running back position in the first five or six picks. We did get Derrick Henry. If you didn't want to roll the dice on Kamara, we could have went AJ Dillon and Brian Robinson Jr., Rashad Penny. So I got some running backs on some good teams, you know, that could be the lead. It could be some goal line backs there as well. We do have to get out of here. We are short on time. I wanted to have a little bit more time to recap this. Maybe we'll just do it tomorrow, but you see some flyers here in Mechie, Reed, Robinson, Mingo. I like, there's certainly some running back value if you avoid the position, say after round five. Isaiah Pacheco, Rashad White, Javonte Williams could be a league winner here in round eight. Samaje Perine, Brian Robinson, Damian Harris linked to a top five offense could fall into 10 rushing touchdowns. Same thing with Penny, could fall into 7 rushing touchdowns linked to a top offense. McKinnon, a bunch of catches out of the backfield. And then you could roll the dice on guys like Z, Kareem Hunt didn't go here, I don't think. Leonard Fournette late. Some guys, Jamal Williams is a good pick, you know, especially if Kamara misses like 6 weeks, you got a good running back there. Who led the NFL in rushing touchdowns. So a lot of options at the running back position. That was the goal. If you don't go heavy RB, you still have some options. Get some wide receivers, maybe get a tight end early, a quarterback inside the top eight, and then hammer home running backs in the middle rounds, and don't handcuff other running backs, right? Maximize your upside if you can. Hopefully you guys got something out of this. We'll do it again, and we'll try a different strategy, and then we'll go heavy RB next week. We will have an Underdog Best Ball draft from Underdog Fantasy on Friday. Appreciate the time, guys. We'll talk to you soon. Cheers.